One of the many advantages that photomnemonic tablets held over ordinary phototypes was that they made their own light, so you could work with them in the dark. This tablet began and ended with daylight. If I ran it back to the very beginning, it became a featureless pool of white light with a faint bluish tinge, the unfocused light of sun and sky that had washed over the tablet after I had activated it on top of the pinnacle during Fra Paflagon's voco. If I put the tablet into play mode, I could then watch a brief, funny-looking transition as it had been slid into Clesthera's eye, and then, suddenly, an image, perfectly crisp and clear, but geometrically distorted. Most of the disk was a picture of the sky. The sun was a neat white circle off-center. Around the tablet's rim was a dark, uneven fringe, like a moldy rind on a wheel of cheese. The horizon, all of it, in every direction. In this fisheye geometry, down for us humans, i.e. toward the ground, was always outward toward the rim of the tablet. Up was always inward toward the center. If several people had stood in a circle around Clesthera's eye, their waists would have appeared around the circumference of the image and their heads would have projected inwards, like spokes of a wheel. So much information was crammed into the tablet's outer fringe that I had to use its pan and zoom functions to make sense of it. The bright sky disk seemed to have a deep, dark notch cut into it at one place. On closer examination, this was the pedestal of the zenith mirror, which stood right next to Clesthera's eye. Like the north arrow on a map, this gave me a reference point that I could use to get my bearings and find other things. About halfway around the rim from it was a wider, shallower notch in the sky disk, difficult to make sense of. But if I turned it about the right way and gave my eye a moment to get used to the distortion, I could understand it as a human figure, wrapped in a bolt that covered everything except one hand and forearm. These were reaching radially outward, which meant down, and became grotesquely oversized before being cropped by the edge of the tablet. This monstrosity was me, reaching toward the base of the eye, having just inserted the tablet and secured the dust cover. The first time I saw this, I laughed out loud because it made my elbow look as big as the moon, and by zooming in on it, I could see a mole and count the hairs and freckles. My attempt to hide my identity by hooding myself had been a joke. If Sura Trustiness had found this tablet, she could have found the culprit by going around and examining everyone's right elbow. When I let the tablet play forward, I could see the notch that was me melt into the dark horizon rim as I departed. A few moments later, a dark mote streaked around the tablet in a long arc close to the rim, the aircraft that had taken Fra Paflagon away to the Pangendrums. By freezing this and zooming in, I could see the aircraft clearly, not quite so badly distorted because it was farther away. The rotors and the streams of exhaust from its engines, frozen, the pilot's face, mostly covered by a dark visor, caught in sunlight shining through the windscreen, his lips parted as if he were speaking into the microphone that curved alongside his cheek. When I ran the time point forward a few minutes, I was able to see the aircraft flying back in the other direction, this time with the face of Fra Paflagon framed in a side window, gazing back at the consent as if he had never seen it before. Then, by sliding my finger up along the side of the tablet for a short distance, I was able to make the sun commit its arc across the sky disk and sink into the horizon. The tablet went dark. Stars must be recorded on it, but my eyes couldn't see them very well because they hadn't adjusted to the dark yet. A few red comets flashed across it, the lights of aircraft. Then the disk brightened again, and the sun exploded from the edge and launched itself across the sky the next morning. If I ran my finger all the way up the side of the tablet in one continuous motion, it flashed like a strobe light. 78 flashes in all, one for each day that the tablet had lodged in Clesthera's eye. Coming to the last few seconds and slowing down the playback, I was able to watch myself emerging from the top of the stairs and approaching the eye to remove the tablet during Fra Orlo's anathem. But I hated to see this part of it because of the way my face looked. I only checked it once, just to be sure that the tablet had continued recording all the way until the moment I had retrieved it. I erased the first and last few seconds of the recording, so that if the tablet were confiscated, it would not contain any images of me. Then I began reviewing it in greater detail. Archibald had mentioned seeing the Eta in this thing. Sure enough, on the second day, a little after noon, a dark bulge reached in from the rim and blotted out most of the sky for a minute. I ran it back and played it at normal speed. It was one of the Eta. He approached from the top of the stairs carrying a squirt bottle and a rag. He spent a minute cleaning the zenith mirror, then approached Clesthra's eye, which was when his image really became huge, and sprayed cleaning fluid on it. I flinched as if the stuff were being sprayed into my face. He gave it a good polish. I could see all the way up into his nostrils and count the hairs. I could see the tiny veins in his eyeballs and the striations in his iris. So there was no doubt that this was Saman, the Eta whom Jessery and I had stumbled upon in Cord's machine hall. In a moment he became much smaller as he backed away from the eye. But he did not depart from the top of the pinnacle immediately. He stood there for several moments, bobbed out of view, reappeared, approached, and loomed in Clesthra's eye for a little bit, then finally went away.